This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. A brand new season of Project Runway starts on Thursday night on Bravo. And one face may be familiar to a lot of you in our area. Tessa Clark is a graduate of the University of Cincinnati's design program. She's also a local entrepreneur. She owns a business in Over the Rhine. She's going to be on the show. I got to speak with her earlier. Tessa, I'm so glad you could join us today.
Thanks for having me. I'm very excited to be here.
Yeah, what an exciting time in your life.
A very exciting, very busy.
Well, tell us, take us to the process of trying out for Project Runway.
So I can only give a few details here.
Okay.
I received from SoValley an email that they were sent that Project Runway was casting. And obviously I knew about Project Runway. I've watched the show for years. I've always thought it would be really fun, but I never really looked into applying or anything like that. So I reached out to the casting company, Magical Elves, and I just wanted to know a little bit about the process. And about a week later, they invited me to a casting call. And, you know, after a few interviews, a couple months after that, I found out that I was casted to be on season 17.
Amazing.
Yeah.
So tell us then what that moment was like. Was it a phone call? Was it an email? Was somebody showing up at your door?
It was a phone call.
Okay.
And, you know, it was very exciting and sort of surreal. Like, you know, oh my God, this is happening. This is like I'm going to be on national television.
Yeah, it's not every day you get a phone call where your whole world's about to change.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't think I really understood the, you know, how much it would change. And I still don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we will see.
We'll see.
I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
So you've been interested in fashion for a long time. You grew up in Greenville, north of Cincinnati, north of Dayton, mm-hmm. in the Dayton area. You came down here for college. You went to DAP at UC.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big program. A lot of talented people go
yes.
into DAP. What did that program do for you?
Well, I started studying fine arts at DAP, and then I switched my major to graphic design, and then ultimately ended up in fashion design. So I was in DAP for 7 years. And it's, you know, it being a co-op program really prepared me for the industry. It really sort of gave me the opportunity to go out into the industry, sort of test things out, see what I liked, see what I didn't like. And the, you know, the co-op program was great. The studio time was obviously intense, but I loved it. I sort of love throwing myself into a hectic, crazy environment. So Project Runway, in that sense, I thrived. But I ultimately realized that I wanted to be an entrepreneur like my parents, and I wouldn't be able to afford to start my own business in New York City or LA. And I really love Cincinnati, and I wanted to, you know, decided to stay here and start my business here. And I hope that other designers realize that it is possible to do that here.
And we're going to talk about that business coming up because you're doing some pretty cool things. You enjoyed the co-op aspect of DAP. That means you usually get sent off somewhere. You get to work inside a business
yes.
or a company or with somebody. Where
yes.
did you get to go?
So after your sophomore year, every other semester, you intern in the field. And I interned for Marquesa, which is a high-end red carpet evening wear label based in New York City. And I also lived in Paris for a few months interning for a shoe designer. Then I was back in New York City for an activewear company that is fully produced in New York City and LA. So I really got an inside look at production in the garment district in New York. And then I went to Free People, more corporate, in Philadelphia. And then I was here and TA'd at DAP and interned alongside my friend Callie Evans, another Cincinnati-based designer.
So you've heard the expression, how do you keep him down on the farm after he's seen Paris, and you've been to Paris, you've been to New York, you've spent time there and you've
yeah.
worked there, and you're based in Cincinnati. You said you love Cincinnati. So how do you stay excited about Cincinnati? What excites you here in
yeah.
the Queen City in this field?
Well, you know, my biggest draw to having my own business based here in Cincinnati is I can afford to live here. But it still has a big city metropolitan vibe, even though it's very small in comparison to cities like Paris and New York. But there are so many creative things happening. SoValley, the new production facility on the West End, just opened up a little over a year ago. And for me, that was life-changing for my business and myself because I can oversee production here locally. There are so many cool museums here, so many great performances. I feel like the arts here are really wonderful and growing, and I love living here.
Yeah, we're really spoiled that we have all that cool stuff, and the rent's not so bad.
Yeah.
and just so that the listeners know, when you say So Valley, as I learned before we started recording, you're talking about so as in sewing, so S-E-W,
yes.
Valley, and we're going to get into that coming up. But you came from an even smaller place, as we noted, Greenville, Ohio, hometown of Annie Oakley.
Yes.
But not necessarily a place on the radar of the fashion industry, I would assume.
Definitely not. No.
So what explored you? What inspired you to explore fashion coming from that area?
So I grew up with very creative parents. And my mom is a self-taught ceramicist. And my dad is a miller at a historic stone grinding flour mill in Greenville. So I grew up in a very creative environment. And they really supported and pushed me to really explore my creativity. And I have come from a fine art background. And when I, you know, decided to start searching for colleges, I decided that I did want to go to an art school, a design school of some sort. But it wasn't until I was in college that I realized that my dream really lied in the fashion industry. My mom had always instilled fashion, a love for fashion in me from a young age. And it just really seemed to fit. And I love going home to Greenville, but I like the big city.
So as you jumped into the field, you're in the field now. Mm-hmm. How would you describe your style?
So like for my brand or my personal style?
Let's I guess talk it's about the both. Same. Yeah.
Okay. Well, my brand is titled Grind and Glaze, and it's inspired by my upbringing. Grind coming from the grinding of grain and glaze coming from the glazing of ceramics. And, you know, I often pull inspiration from my parents and my upbringing, sort of a combination of raw and refined, rustic and glossy. So just like sort of that juxtaposition between minimal and luxury. I would say that my designs overall are fairly minimal, wearable, timeless, but made out of really quality textiles. And even though technically I'm a women's wear designer, fashion is moving towards more of a non-binary place, and I believe that whoever wants to wear my clothes can wear my clothes.
And now you're in the business. Do you have any ultimate goals beyond what you're doing now?
I would love to eventually start wholesaling. I'm not at that place yet. I just have a very small capsule collection out now. I would love to be on the Fashion Week schedule, and I would love to begin, you know, having regular shows in New York, but still ultimately always be based here in Cincinnati.
We talked a little bit about the business side that you're already on, and you and your family are behind Idlewild, which people may know,
in
Over the Rhine. Mm-hmm. So what was that experience like launching that?
Sure. So I manage Idlewild from the beginning of 2017, about spring of 2017. And in May of 2018, the previous owners decided to sell Idlewild. And my family was very interested, my mom and my cousin. And so they purchased Idlewild from the previous owners. And, you know, my mom being a businesswoman and my cousin being a designer herself, a graphic designer, we took a dive into the fashion world together and owning a store. We actually just got back from a buying trip in New York, which is my favorite part, is obviously buying and merchandising. But it's been really fun. You know, as the three of us are makers, my mom sells her ceramics in the store. I sell my designs in the store. And my cousin Jessica sells her bag designs with her photography printed on it in the store. So it really, I would say that the biggest draw to us purchasing Idlewild was the opportunity to have a boutique to sell these clothes and to these clothes and items and to be advocates for ethically made and sustainable fashion. So we're trying to grow the store and really be a cool place to shop and a very inclusive place to shop in Cincinnati.
Yeah, so how's it going? Because we hear so much about the dining and the drinking scene in Over the Rhine, but you're a retail operation.
Yes.
So how's that working out?
I mean, I think it's great. There are so many great boutiques in Cincinnati, especially in Over the Rhine. There are four great, more than four, but my stores that are similar to Idlewild, there's four of them within two blocks of each other. And I would say that Cincinnati's definitely has some cool fashion things happening, and I hope that more stores open. You know, drinking and eating is obviously wonderful, but what about during the day? You know, we offer things for people to do during the day in between going to a performance at Music Hall, or before going out for a nice meal.
You call your brand Grind and Glaze. Mm-hmm. What's the story behind that?
It's inspired by my upbringing in Greenville. My parents definitely have influenced my desire to lead a creative lifestyle.
So it's a reference to the ceramicist and the miller.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So my mom being a potter and my dad being a miller, so the miller and the potter.
Ah.
And I often design apron-inspired pieces because both millers and potters wear aprons and sort of just play on that. I feel like my upbringing was very, like, lyrical and whimsical, living in a restored barn house next to this beautiful woods and the creek. And, you know, I learned how to grind grain into flour at a very young age. So just sort of always pulling inspiration from that, with either by color or by textile or by clothing design.
This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Michael Monks. We're talking with Tessa Clark, a locally based fashion designer from Greenville, Ohio, graduate of the DAP program at the University of Cincinnati. She's a contestant on the upcoming season of Project Runway on Bravo. Tessa, this is that show's 17th season. You mentioned that you were a fan of it before you applied to be on it and ultimately got a spot on there. It's hosted by supermodel Carly Kloss and features judges Brandon Maxwell. He's a designer. Elaine Welteroth, she's editor of Teen Vogue, and Nina Garcia, the editor at Elle. You've got some big names there. Who were you most excited about working with?
I mean, Nina has been a judge on the show since season one. And so I was always, I always really liked Nina's taste and style. And so for me, Nina was the most exciting. It was also exciting to have Christian Siriano, a Project Runway alum, be the mentor. And he is definitely the most successful Project Runway winner. And having the opportunity to hear his feedback was unparalleled. You know, and now that it's back on Bravo, I think it's going to be a really fun show, definitely different than some previous seasons. Yeah, it was a really wonderful experience.
So the winner gets $250,000, $250,000. That's a nice chunk of change.
Yes.
What do you do with that kind of money?
Oh my gosh, if I were to win Project Runway, I would definitely invest in my business and mostly in production because, and I know this sounds crazy. I don't even know what that type of money looks like, but I know that it would go far, but that money in the fashion world and production and buying materials wouldn't go that far. So it would just be a really nice little chunk of change to really get my brand off the ground. And for me, I would really want to keep at least like a capsule collection produced here in Cincinnati to support Sew Valley and to really keep a part of that here.
So let's talk fashion and design in general. What kind of trends do you see emerging for clothing fans who live in places like the Midwest, like Cincinnati? What type of trends are growing?
So I am a big advocate for, you know, kind of against trends,
okay.
I guess, because fast fashion and trends are disposable and they are not, ultimately, they're not good for the environment. They're not good for consumerism. I am an advocate for buying quality, timeless clothing that will last a lifetime in your wardrobe. And I really want to encourage people to ask and to check their tags on where their clothing is made, who made it, and to really make sure they understand that behind every piece of clothing that you will ever wear, ever try on, that you have in your closet, a person has made. And to really question if what you paid for that reflects a fair wage in paying that person to make it.
Why do you think that's not a bigger issue, a bigger conversation?
It's really becoming a big conversation in the fashion world. There is a documentary called The True Cost that came out a few years ago, and it's about the fashion industry, textile industry, being the second largest polluter in the world behind oil. And when I learned that a few years ago, I was still in school, I really was disgusted that I was getting a degree in this industry. And I decided then and vowed then that if I was to remain in this industry, that I would want to work for either a sustainable company, be an advocate for sustainability in the fashion industry, and be an advocate for ethics in the industry. And so that's what I'm trying to achieve with my brand and really educate consumers that come into our store Idlewild and to educate my followers on social media and friends and family on buying clothes that are made ethically and will last forever.
Yeah, so I imagine that as a small independent store, your prices are possibly higher than what people might see at a Target or a TJ Maxx,
some of
the mass production places.
Yes.
And so it sounds like there's an opportunity for the fashion industry itself to evolve, but how do you get consumers to evolve?
It's a very tricky, tricky thing. And I have to say, like, I am not perfect. Like, I've obviously shopped over the years at fast fashion stores. And I actually used to work for a fast fashion brand before I learned about all of this at the mall. And it's – nobody's perfect, but it's just – it's a societal thing that we've all grown up with and have seen that that's a trend, is buying fast fashion, disposable fashion. You know, there's so much waste in the industry, and there's so much I mean, if you really deep dive into it, it's really – quite disturbing and disgusting of what happens. And, you know, if you're shopping at a boutique that sells ethically made, sustainably made clothing, of course you're going to pay more because the people who made the clothing are paid fair wages. They're not being paid 30 cents an hour or, you know, a dollar a week. And that's why things that are made in America, made in the USA, cost more, because we have regulations. And when big box brands take production overseas, it's, I would say, if it's not a fair trade company, it's for greed. It's to pay less to produce more. But, you know, all of those stores, Walmart, Forever 21, H&M, they're sitting on so much inventory. There is so much waste in the industry. And then, you know, a lot of that gets shipped to another country overseas. And then they're sitting on landfills full of waste. It's just, it's such a wasteful industry. And I really want to encourage people to buy something quality, pay a little more, it will last longer in your wardrobe. And to, if you buy something timeless, you won't get sick of it, like you will most trends.
Yeah. I've always loved shopping for clothes. And I guess about 5 years ago, I kind of had a similar realization that, wow, this may have been made in an environment that's not healthy for the people who are working there in any way, economically or physically.
Right.
And so I tried to make a more conscious effort. It's hard.
Mm-hmm. It's very hard. And especially if you are on a very limited budget. I personally don't make enough money to spend $400 on a dress. So for me, it's very hard too. I save up and then I might splurge on something that I know will last forever in my wardrobe. And for those who can't justify paying that much, I suggest thrifting. Thrifting is a very sustainable way to shop. There are so many quality garments at thrift stores. And still, when you're thrifting, don't just pick something up because it's a bargain. Look at it, try to figure out if it's something that you need in your wardrobe. None of us need more clothing.
I know,
and
that's
it's such
the truth.
It's such a tricky thing. And I, you know, I'm sitting here trying to sell clothes on my website, but you don't need it, you know? And I would rather be an advocate for good consumer habits than trying to sell 1,000 dresses.
When I had the realization that we're talking about in terms of finding humanitarily produced clothing, mm-hmm. I discovered American Apparel really for the first time, but kind of late because they went out of business shortly after.
Right.
So great sales at a time, but,
yes.
but then the company was gone and then it reemerged in Canada. So mm-hmm. now I'm not so sure, you know, what to do. But on that note, so I'm a guy in my 30s and I'm somebody who likes to buy clothing. And regardless of where I'm going, I find that the 30s is a very difficult age to start shopping for because like you're not a kid anymore and you're not like a dad yet.
Right.
So it's very challenging.
Yeah.
When people are looking to find their style, what's your advice for people to find the right approach to shopping for clothing based on their age?
Sure. So I first and foremost recommend that, and I've learned this through managing Idlewild and helping women find clothing, but really dress for your body type. And if you dress for your body type and you know what flatters your body type, then you'll know what type of clothes to look for. And in terms of dressing for your age, you know, I would say for the most part, anything goes. I mean, I personally am a fairly modest dresser. I don't, show a lot of skin when I dress. And a lot of the clothing that I design doesn't show a lot of skin, but it still has some sex appeal. So I think, you know, in general, dress for your body type. Buy timeless quality pieces that will last. I think every guy needs a suit. And, you know, just don't buy too much into the trends. And really ask yourself if you'll wear it multiple times.
We've talked a little bit about production, and we've only got a couple minutes left, but I want to make sure that we explore So Valley a little bit more.
Sure.
Because one of the issues that you raised is how difficult it is to produce the clothing here locally.
Right.
And then it's expensive to have it made elsewhere.
Yes.
So what's the origin of So Valley, and what is that going to do for the industry here?
So So Valley was founded by Rosie Kovacs and Shayla Menard. Both creatives, women in, here in Cincinnati. Rosie's a graduate of DAP, and Shayla went to another art school out of state. And they both saw the need in the fashion world to have production here locally. And they are growing rapidly. And they are able to keep prices competitive to LA and New York because they are a nonprofit. They pay fair wages, but they really keep their costs down and are asking for donations to keep them open to the public. And it's obvious that it's needed because they have so many people coming to them for production needs. And they can sew anything from bags to ties to clothing. They produced my entire collection. And before them, I couldn't find anything local. I would have to go to Chicago or New York. And so it's really been a lifesaver having them here.
Tessa Clark is a contestant on the upcoming season of Project Runway. She's from right here in Cincinnati. Tessa, good luck to you on the show.
Thank you so much.
We'll be watching.
Thanks.
You've been listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. The producer for today's show is Pete Reitmeier. The assistant producer is Selena Reeder. The technical director is Josh Elstrow. Archives of our show are online at WVXU.org. I'm Michael Monks.